Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back joining me again. And we are on the end of our week talking about a few verses in Ephesians 1. We've been chipping away at Ephesians 1 just once a month here. We've spent the first couple days being joined by a guest from the Good News Cruise that I was able to record sets of interviews every day when I was on the Good News Cruise out in the sun, cruising on the ocean. I had guests with me talking about Ephesians chapter 1 and diving in and saying, what's God saying to us here and what are we doing about it? And if you joined us through the first couple days of this week, we had Heather Kim with us from Abiding Together, Franciscan University, just bringing her deep, deep wells of wisdom on what God was saying to us. And so I want to encourage you, go and listen to those first 3 days. And then yesterday, we spent, honestly, the whole time talking about being in Him. And we began by talking about how He is in us. And then that's shored up by this reality that He is in us and we are in Him. And what does it truly mean to be in Christ? And this is why I just love God's word, because, you know, back in February when I was on the boat with Heather, we really got into this depth of just talking about how Jesus is our treasure and talking about the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to us as the treasure, but in a particular way, Christ living in us as the treasure. Christ dwelling in us as the treasure and being in us. And it had been a while since I listened to those conversations. I was far removed from those conversations. You know, it's months later. I'm not on the ship anymore. And how when we began to go through yesterday, what God was speaking to us out of that set of verses, the thing that was popping up was the in Him. That the Holy Spirit was so clearly leading us to discuss in Him. And it was this beautiful back and forth of He's in us and we're in Him and He's in us. And this reality of, even though we were picking up the conversation months later, how God was leading us just to those two words. And for me, I was so inspired just by the simplicity of what can happen in our hearts and in our lives when we lean into the most simple truths in Him, according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things. That's how things happen in our lives. That's who I'm entrusting my life to. And the reality that I can take to the bank that I am in Christ, that you are in Christ. And when we look in the scriptures, there's so many things about being in Christ. But the one that keeps coming to mind, particularly for this season, is whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away, the new has come. Revelation 21, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. You are in Christ, and so you are a new creation by the blood of Jesus, by the resurrection of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit coming and transforming the face of the earth, by transforming us from the inside out. So, so beautiful. So let's see if we can get past those first two words, that first sentence, as we wrap up our week together and hopefully send you off into the weekend empowered in Christ, empowered in the plan that the Father has for you, empowered in what Jesus is not only doing on the earth, but what He's doing in each and every one of our hearts. So if you'll join me in prayer, and then we're going to read our scripture and see what God has to say. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You always speak to us. Jesus, we thank You that You always speak to us. Father, we thank You that You always speak to us. That even when we read something months ago and we pick it back up, that You're moving the conversation, You're stirring in our hearts, Your eye is on us, and You know today as we read Your word exactly what You desire us to see, what You desire us to hear, what You desire us to do. Lord Jesus, we give this time to You, and Holy Spirit, I pray as we read today, as we wrap up this week together, that You would take every word that's been said, every word that's been heard, and You would use it to glorify Your name. That Holy Spirit, You would glorify Jesus in our hearts so we would radiate the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this all in Your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so we're starting again at verse 11, Ephesians 1, verse 11. In Him, according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things, according to the counsel of His will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Amen. So a couple things are standing out to me that I want to jump on. First of all, in just two sentences, just a couple sentences, to the praise of his glory is said multiple times. So yesterday we talked about being in him and living according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things. And so if God accomplishes all things and he's saying now God is setting, I'm setting forth my will and I'm the one who accomplishes all things, my will is going to be accomplished. My will for you is going to be accomplished. And when I read this passage, and I think Heather and I talked about this a little bit too, there's this confidence that boils up in me, that bursts out of me, first because I am in him, but also this confidence that I feel like through multiple sentences and what we just read, that God is communicating to us, I am going to finish what I started in you. That there's a way that he's saying to us, by my grace, I'm going to accomplish it. And you're not on your own for what I'm desiring to do in you. So there's a few things I want to touch on. Right, so he says, who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will. We who first hope in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. I want to dive into that. So Paul's most likely referring to the earliest believers, like the Jews that first received the Messiah. But by extension, he's including us. He's including Christians, all who place their hope in Jesus. Have been destined and appointed. And I'm going to dive into this, but first I want to go first to live for the praise of his glory. So God's intention, your destiny, what you have been created for, yes, is to be with God forever, but that our redeemed lives would reflect God's goodness. So others can see in us what God has done and give him glory. So God saved you. God saved me. So our life would proclaim his greatness. That there's a way that you're called to what? Live for the praise of his glory. Live so that the way I live brings praise to how glorious God is. This is what I've been destined for. And sometimes I feel like I fail at this. Sometimes this is super hard. But to take an audit of one, am I living in a way that when people see how I'm living, when people see me, what they would be drawn into and pointed back to is to praise God for his glory, to live for praising God's glory. Is that what my life is? Am I giving him honor? Am I reflecting back his greatness to live for the praise of his glory? And it's not just like he wants me to. It's saying I've been destined and appointed. God willed, he arranged, he foreknew. It emphasizes his initiative. We've been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. And friends, here's how I read that. That we who put our hope in Christ, we've been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. It's not like this extra pressure of like, oh God, you have no choice in the matter. God's pushing it on you. You have to make sure that you don't get it wrong so that you can witness to God's glory. But actually, God desires this for me, that first he's saying, I have destined you. It's what you're created for. Right? When we talk about living for the glory of God, this is what will satisfy me, is to live for the glory of God. It's what I'm meant to do. And God's saying, it's not only that I put a desire in your heart, but I've destined you and I've appointed you. I've given you a role. I'm saying, I'm appointing you. I'm saying, this is what you're made for. And so I'm actually setting you up. I feel like this points to you're chosen, assigned, you're set out for a purpose of a role. God has determined something for you. But he doesn't leave you on your own to do it. And that's why I feel like that destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory, it gives me confidence. That, okay, I can do this. I'm not on my own, just floundering, trying to get it right. But God, he's given me what I need by allowing me to be in him. He's taken me in himself and he's setting all things according to his will. And according to him, he's saying, this is your destiny. and I've appointed you for it. I'm giving you what you need to live for the praise of my glory. Again, 13, again, and in him. So in him what? We're appointed to live for the praise of his glory. And in him, you who have heard the word of truth. Remember this. This is other ways to define ourselves. You have heard the word of truth about God. And you have heard the word of truth about yourself. The gospel of your salvation. What is the word of truth? It's the gospel of your salvation. What is the gospel of your salvation? That Jesus Christ has come as the Messiah to save you from sin and death. And he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. He rose again on the third day and defeated death forever and invites each and every person to live for the praise of his glory and to live in faith and live in a faith that conquers death. That is the gospel of your salvation. What is the gospel? The power of salvation for all those who believe. That's how Paul defines it. So the word of truth that you receive is the gospel of your salvation. And we have believed in him, right? So in him, those of us who have heard the word of truth, who have the gospel of salvation, who have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit, right? The love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love that flows between the Father and the Son. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The promise of the Father, the Comforter, the Counselor, the one who will come and lead us into all truth, who will lead us into that place to live for the praise of his glory. This is what we've been appointed for. But God's saying, I'm not leaving you on your own. I'm sealing you. I'm not even just giving you the gift. I'm sealing you with the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is it like to be sealed? Think about sealed. It's like marked. A seal in the ancient world, a seal was used to show ownership. That you belong to someone, protection, security to keep safe and guarded, authenticity, like a seal of like, this is authentic, right? Authority backed by the one who sealed it. Being sealed means this, friends. God has claimed you. He has secured you and he has confirmed you as truly his. Right, this seal, this pledge, this down payment of your inheritance, of all that you will have access to in eternal life, you begin to have access to now. Friends, this gives me an amazing deal of confidence. He's saying, I'm appointed. It is my role, it is my purpose to live in a way that brings praise to God's glory. But I don't have to do it on my own. You're not doing it on your own because I've been sealed. The authority of God is behind me. The authenticity that I've been purchased by the blood of Christ is behind me. The power of God is behind me. I've been marked. And God's saying, yes, I've appointed you. Yes, you need to live in a way that is trustworthy and honorable and virtuous and perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But I'm giving you the promised Holy Spirit, not only just as a gift, but I'm sealing you. I'm stamping you and saying, you are mine. You belong to me. It's like Jesus is investing in you. Like think of, you know, in like Silicon Valley when they get these massive like angel investors and they're like, oh, we started Facebook or Apple or all this kind of stuff. And they put billions of dollars. Jesus is putting all the bank of heaven, all of his resources behind you. He's saying, I'm pouring into you. So it is possible to live in a glorious way. Thank you so much for joining me this week, friends. Join us again next week as we continue to dive into God's word together. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.